fear typically is not what should drive and motivate your life. In fact, if you are driven by fear in your decisions, you are driving down the wrong road.
This is Straight Talk.
We're starting a new series entitled Facing Your Fear Factor. And no, we're not going to be eating grub worms or having people jump off buildings. But we are going to encourage you to face the fears that are in your life. I tell you, I believe that one of the greatest enemies to faith is fear. And one of the things that paralyzes our life the most and keeps us stuck in a rut of taking no risk or doing nothing great for God oftentimes is fear. In fact, do you know that the Bible tells us that God is not the God of fear, and the spirit that he's given us is not one of fear? In fact, Paul told Timothy, "For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind." So tune in as we talk about how to break the fear in your life.
Indeed, Pastor Mark, thank you. Hi, everyone. We are in a brand new series called Facing Your Fear Factor. We'll be in a message called Breaking the Grip of Anxiety. Our scripture will be Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Here's Pastor Mark.
I have fears. She has fears. He has fears. Some of those fears are a little bit more pronounced. Some people have fears that get so obsessive that they turn to phobias. Some of you get in an elevator and the doors close and you start getting nervous right away because it's a little tight for you. Some of you, the lights go out, you get a little nervous. Some of you see a snake, you start sweating right away. Some of you see a tax man and you start getting nervous right away. A few years back, I walked into my house, our first house we had ever bought, and I walked into our house and I saw this, my wife. She was on a chair, like way up on a chair, and this is in my living room. She's on a chair like this. She got a broom in her hand. It's the summertime, so she's got shorts on, but she's got these big winter boots that go all the way up here. On a chair like this, winter boots, her eyes are watery, her hair's a little bit disheveled. I walk and she says, "Mark!" I said, "What happened?" "There's a mouse in the house." I mean, this was no small fear. This is a big fear. I said, "It's okay." "No, you don't understand. I saw him." "It's okay. Calm down, hon. Calm down. I'll set some traps. We'll catch him." "No." She said, "You don't understand. If he's loose in the house, I can't function." I said, "Well, that's all right. We'll set some traps. We'll be okay. We'll catch him pretty soon." "No, I'm going to go stay at a hotel." I said, "Hon, calm down. You have to catch him." She looked at me wide-eyed. I said, "Well, hon, you don't understand. I mean, I can't tear the house. You have to catch him. I won't be able to function. I won't be able to think. I won't be able to clean. I'll have to rent a hotel room, stay somewhere else because I can't function." I got the point. "Where did you last see him?" I said. "In the living room." So I started turning over couches and turning over tables. And aha, while I was telling her, "Hun, this is impossible. I'll never find this. You know, a little mouse." And there he was, scurrying around. And so for an hour and a half, I chased a mouse. Finally, I cornered him in the bathroom. Now, that was a while. I put a board across there. I got a broom, and I went to battle. And I'll spare you the gory details, but I got them. I was a hero to my wife. It was as if I had slain a dragon for her. She was so happy. You may not fear mice. You may fear rejection. You may fear diseases. You may fear needles. I have friends of mine that see a needle coming at them and they're already ready to pass out. And I won't mention their names here. But nonetheless, what fear does is fear, if it goes unchecked, it can literally paralyze our life. And it can paralyze and stop us in the midst of our marriage, in the midst of our business, in the midst of our relationships. Spiritually, it can paralyze us as well. Because here's what I want you to know about fear. There is a fear that is healthy, and it's mainly the fear of God. A reverent respect for God Almighty. But fear typically is not what should drive and motivate your life. In fact, if you are driven by fear in your decisions, you are driving down the wrong road. And I want to talk to you this morning about a form of fear. A form that literally paralyzes millions across this nation. In fact, as a pastor, over the last years, I'm amazed at the upsurge in manifestations of this kind of fear. For example, it's become a national phenomenon. We even have names for it now. Panic attacks. And maybe some of you have experienced, I know there's people in this room that have experienced panic attacks because they affect a lot of people. A panic attack is when fear gets a hold of you to the point that you begin to fear something so much that you start hyperventilating and can't stop yourself from this obsessive fear about death or about what's going to happen. And it affects your heart, it affects your entire system, goes into shock because you begin to fear something. It affects millions, literally millions of Americans. And its cousin, worry and anxiety, have become national epidemics. I'd like for you to take your Bibles and to turn to Philippians chapter 4. I believe this is one of the most powerful passages dealing with worry and anxiety found in all of Scripture. In Philippians chapter 4, we're going to be looking at verses 6 through 8 of Philippians chapter 4. I'm reading out of the New International Version. And let me start out in verse 6. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything." Boy, that's a pretty tough, powerful statement. It's in the imperative form, which means it's a command form. It's an active voice, which means for here and now. Do not be anxious about anything. Not some things, not occasionally, but do not be anxious about anything. It is not God's plan. It's not part of God's design for you to live with anxiety or worry in your life. You say, well, Pastor, what is anxiety and worry? Is it different than fear? It's a form of fear. When someone has fear, what anxiety and worry is, it's a byproduct of fear. You allow fear to get a hold of you, and it's this obsessive, ongoing nervousness and worry that's produced as a result of fear. It affects your emotions. It affects what you think about. It affects your blood pressure. It affects your digestive system. It affects you physically, emotionally, and spiritually. It paralyzes your ability to make decisions. It counteracts your faith, and it is like poison to your physical body. If you are a worrier here, you are poisoning yourself spiritually, mentally, and emotionally to death. You understand that, right? And so I believe that many of us need to understand how to release the grip. You say, well, Pastor, I don't want to worry, but I don't know how to stop. It just gets a hold of me, and I don't know how to release it. I don't know how to stop. Well, there are basically three practices that I would encourage you in this passage that we find we need to take if you are going to break the grip that anxiety has on your life. Three practices. The first one is the practice of three-dimensional prayer. Three-dimensional prayer. Now, it tells us in this passage, don't be anxious for anything. That's easy to say. But then it gives a solution. It says, but. It's the opposite of being anxious. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. In verse 7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now it says that it's a natural response to allow anxiety to get a hold of us. So how are we going to counteract a natural response? We counteract the natural response with a supernatural response. Instead of becoming anxious, it says, what you are to do, and by the way, this word anxious, if you look this word up in the Greek New Testament, which scripture was written in, you will find that the root meaning of it, the root word of anxiety here, has to do with distraction. A heaviness or a weight or a worry that distracts our mind, our thinking. It's kind of like being on the back porch in a nice summer evening, and you know there's a mosquito just waiting to nail you. And you're talking, and you can continue to talk, but you hear that little zzzz. Let me know what I'm talking about. You don't want to get bitten, so you keep going like this while you're talking, waving your hand, and you zzzz, and it kind of distracts you. It's there. It never goes away, and it's hard for you to carry on a real good conversation because you keep getting distracted by this mosquito that's out there that you know is going to try to bite you. It's always on your mind. You can function, you can do things, but it's always there. It's always bothering you. Worry's sort of like that. You go about your daily business, but you hear its buzz every so often. You're working on your computer and the buzz is there and your mind starts to drift, and then you wake back up to reality, and then you worry. You have downtime. You're eating your lunch alone and your mind starts drifting to that area of worry, whatever is bothering you.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to our Straight Talk message called Breaking the Grip of Anxiety, which is from our brand new series called Facing Your Fear Factor. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Our message is called Breaking the Grip of Anxiety.
Maybe it's a doctor's report that's about to come up. They say, it may be, perhaps, we're not sure, here's a test, we'll know in a couple days. Your mind keeps going to the worst scenario. You're sitting down and you're, what if this happens? What if? It keeps going there. You can't concentrate very well because it keeps going there. Well, the word anxiety has to do with that distraction. And what the Apostle Paul is telling the Philippians believers is, do not let this distraction be a part of your life, or anxiety be a part of your life, but instead of allowing it to be a part of your life, you need to put on this practice, the practice of regularly engaging in three-dimensional prayer. Now, I define what kind of prayer he's asking us to engage in, because some of us pray and it doesn't seem to work. Some of you are worried about your job situation. You've seen them lay people off. And you're counting your seniority and how many guys you have under you. Let's see, I'm 12 up in seniority. 11 goes, 10 goes, 9 goes. And you start sweating a little bit. It's getting closer. And it begins to bother you. And so you go to God and you say, God, you know I need a job. Oh, you know, God, if I'm like this already financially, Lord. If I get laid off, it's going to be a major problem. I'm not going to be able to make my mortgage. And if I don't make my mortgage, they're going to take the house. And if they take the house, I'm going to have to move in with my mother-in-law. God, and you know what's going to happen if I move in with my mother-in-law. And you start rehearsing these scenarios in your mind, and you keep going, I'm going to get the slip. They're going to tell me it's happening. What's going to happen? How am I going to, I don't have any savings. This is terrible. What's going to go on? And you're praying, but really what's happening as you're praying, you're having this worry session in front of God. Then after all this, and I'm mother-in-law, and I can't pay the bills, they're going to repossess my car and take this, and it's going to be embarrassment. I'm going to have to move out of the neighborhood. My kids are going to have to switch schools. I don't know. God, help me in Jesus' name. You say, Pastor, I don't feel any better. I just prayed, and I don't feel any better. You say, pray? Well, you see, you've engaged in a unidimensional prayer. Oh, part of praying is letting our request be made known unto God. But you see, there's three dimensions to this kind of prayer. In fact, God says if you engage in three-dimensional prayer, that He will release something called peace. It's supernatural. It doesn't come in this physical world. It is peace of God will be released if you engage in three-dimensional prayer. What is three-dimensional prayer? He says, by prayer, which is the general term that's used in communication with God. And typically we do that. But then it says, and petitions or supplications. The word used here for petitions or supplications means not only are we to talk to God, but we are to be specific and intense. There's a element of being very concrete and very earnest or sincere when it talks about supplications. You are asking God for some very specific, very definite, and you are earnestly seeking God. So you're talking to God, but you're not just saying, oh, bless the world, bless me, bless everybody, God. You're being very specific about what you're praying about, very earnest about what you're praying about. And the third dimension, so one is the communication dimension. Secondly is the specific dimension of what you're praying about. But the third dimension that we often fail when we're worried and come before God is the thanksgiving dimension. The word here in the Greek is Eucharistia. It's where we get the word Eucharist from. Some people say we're going to celebrate the Eucharist, which means thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, it says. Now, how unnatural is that? When you're worried, you're saying, oh, God, please, you know, don't let them lay me off. And God, please stop the hand, increase the business so they won't let me lay off. Or have some older guys retire so they'll bump me up on the list. God, I pray, help me out, Lord. Okay, you've been specific. You've talked to God. By the way, if you're going to be specific and talk to God, do it in Jesus' name because you have access to God the Father through the Son, Jesus, via the Holy Spirit. Always remember that. Some people get confused and they say, well, Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm praying to God, praying to Jesus, praying to the Holy Spirit. It's a three-in-one. You pray to God the Father, who gives you access through Jesus the Son, who's the mediator, and you pray in the power or the knowledge of the Holy Spirit, who is your helper. So all three persons of the Godhead are active in your prayer. But then you switch into a higher gear suddenly when you add the dimension of thanksgiving, because now you say, and God, thank you that I still have a job. And thank you that you are Lord of the economy. And thank you that you own a cattle on 1,000 hills, and you own the hills upon which those 1,000 cattle are, and the nations upon which those 1,000 cattle are. And thank you that nothing can touch me, that you don't allow to touch me. And thank you that you are the provider, and thank you that you are in control, and thank you that I have a roof over my head, and thank you that I have clothes on my back, and thank you that you will never leave me nor forsake me, and thank you that you have promised to supply all my needs according to your riches and glory. And you just get into a thanksgiving session while you are presenting your request to God. Because what happens is as you begin to thank, your faith begins to grow. And it's hard to complain when you're thanking. Hello? This is three-dimensional prayer. when you wrap up your prayer in the attitude of Eucharistia, in the attitude of prayer and thanksgiving to God Almighty, and when you are connecting with God, being specific about your prayer request, but spending time in thanking God about the good things, you see what worry does is worry focuses on the negative of what may happen. Thanksgiving focuses on the positive of what is. You understand? And when you have presented these things to God and says in everything, this should be a practice of our life, not just in crisis situations, but this should be a practice of our lifestyle. And the Bible says when you engage in this kind of three-dimensional prayer, it says, verse 7, and you present your request to God, and the peace of God. This is the peace of God. That word of has to do with origin of the peace. Where does this peace come from? Where does it originate from? It originates from the very essence and presence of God. And the peace that comes from God. Jesus said, I leave you and I give you a peace, not as the world gives peace. It's a different kind of peace. It's not a peace that's based on circumstances. It's a supernatural, sovereign peace that defies human comprehension. And the peace of God that surpasses understanding, it says, or that transcends all understandings. What does it mean that this peace transcends understandings? It means that you cannot diagnose or intellectually get your arms around this peace. You can experience it, you can feel it, but you can't diagnose it and explain it away. Some of you have walked in it. It's like walking in the zone. And things are happening, everybody's frantic, worried, and you're in the zone. What's wrong with you? Don't you understand what's happening? I mean, do you not grasp this? And you're just like in the zone. Yeah, I understand. No, and they say, well, let me explain it to you, because I don't think you understand. Really, if you understood, you'd be as worried as I am. Do you understand? I mean, they're two away from firing you, letting you go. Do you understand that? Yeah. I sure do. Man, you're on something. On the peace of God. And the peace of God that surpasses our understanding. You can't explain it. You don't know exactly how it happens. But it is a release that comes from the presence of God that invades your heart, that surpasses your mind, that when you should be anxious, you're not anxious. This peace that surpasses understanding, listen to what it says. It says that this peace that surpasses understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Your heart here has to do with your soul, the center of your personality. Your minds has to do with your thought process. So your soul and your thinking will be guarded by this supernatural peace of God. Now the word guard here is a military term. You see, the city of Philippi was a Roman garrison. It was a place where the Philippian citizens, they were used to seeing Roman patrols guarding certain special buildings or certain armory areas. They were used to seeing these patrols of Roman guards with their spears and their swords guarding certain areas. So the Apostle Paul uses this imagery and he says, imagine this, the peace of God is patrolling around your mind. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3. What are they defending? They're defending your mind and your soul. What are they defending it against? Hostile invasion. What kind of hostile invasion? Worry and anxiety that paralyzes you and diminishes your faith. So when you are engaging in three-dimensional prayer, you are talking to God, you are petitioning, you are getting into thanksgiving, then this peace of God is being released. And this peace of God, it's interesting. It's almost like an oxymoron. It's a peace, but it's an aggressive military peace.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe of New Life Community Church in Chicago with his message called Breaking the Grip of Anxiety. We invite you to join us again for the next Straight Talk as we continue on with the second half of his message, which is part of our series called Facing Your Fear Factor. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you in your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping. We also invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 24 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago, and you can check us out at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We'd love to meet you. And please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that you've enjoyed this broadcast, and we thank you for joining us. Please do listen in to the next Straight Talk. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and the Straight Talk team, we appreciate your listenership. Have a great evening, and God bless.